Will you open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, the study of which we will be concluding in today's study, for we have been looking at the last paragraph in that chapter, which has to deal with the command not to worry. And we've been looking at various ways in which we may obey that command. Today, without attempting to review what we have already considered with you, we are going to think with you about several things that will keep us from worrying if we follow through. We've thought about two causes of worry that we mentioned under the words puny persuasion and the word carnality, living just like the unsaved, without realizing that our God is able to do great and wonderful things for us. Before we look at this portion, however, let us look to God and ask for his blessing on us as we look into his word. Our Father, we are grateful today for this opportunity of looking into the word once again. We do acknowledge that unless the Spirit of God is able and willing to teach us the word, we will not understand it. We do ask that there might be clarity of presentation and openness of thought, that the word might be accepted for what it is. Meet every need of every waiting heart today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you notice in the 32nd verse what we have noticed with you already concerning the things of this life? In Matthew chapter 6, 32, we read, "For all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things." Notice that first statement again. "For after all these things do the unsaved people seek." The unsaved have no one to look after them. But remember, you have me to look after you. And as we said to you, the Apostle Paul in his Corinthian letter said that carnality kept the people at Corinth from laying hold of the truth that God wanted them to have in order that they might enter in to this blessed estate that we are talking about of leaving things to God. I want to be kind as I say this today, but I must say it, friend. Sometimes you judge your spirituality on the basis of the greater sin. You suggest that to you, this little thing that folk call worry is not that important, but you're concerned about the big sin. The apostle mentions that this little thing that you call worry, or this worry which you call a little thing, is a carnal thing which can break your fellowship. Now, in addition to what we have considered, I would suggest to you another way that we can obey the command that is presented to us, and that is by keeping in mind certain considerations. And as we go back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, there are certain considerations we must always keep in mind if we are to win the victory over worry. The first one that I'm going to call to your attention is represented in what I have referred to as the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God, if you please, as seen in the care of his creation. Two phases of his creation are brought to our attention, two phases, that is, of his creation, the fowls and the flowers. Notice verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" He takes care of the fowls, because the fowls are fowls. Some folk read this passage of Scripture, and they think that the Savior is suggesting that you shouldn't do anything to make your own way. The fowls don't sow, and the fowls don't spin. So you're supposed to sleep away. You're not supposed to get on the job. You're supposed to sit down and let God take care of you. Well, that is certainly a misinterpretation of the Word of God. The reason that the phraseology is used, "fowls do not sow grain and they do not spin flax," is that fowls are not supposed to do that. fowls are supposed to fly. Fowls are supposed to sit on the branches of the trees and sing. Fowls are supposed to do what they do when they do what they were created for. And when they do what they do, then God does take care of them. The application should be evident then. If you do what you do, God will take care of you. Now notice verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed as one of these. Here again, folk, you see, Christ said the lilies don't toil, and they don't spin, yet God takes care of them. So all I need to do, somebody says, is to sit down, and God will take care of me. Oh, no, 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 you've misapplied the truth again. You've misinterpreted. Flowers were not meant to toil. Flowers were not created to spin. Flowers were created to grow and to share their beauty with the world. And as they do that, God takes care of them. You do what you need to do, and God will be faithful. If he has taken care of his creation, certainly he will take care of you, the epitome of his creation, man. Another consideration concerning the faithfulness of God that should be kept in mind is God's sense of values. When you wonder if God is going to be faithful, keep in mind always God's sense of values as suggested in verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Listen to the question. Is not life more than food? Is not the body more than raiment? If this verse says anything at all, my friend, it says that God sustains the life which he creates. Isn't your life more important than food? Isn't your body more important than clothes? If God created the body, can't he clothe it? If God created the life, can't he sustain it? Of course he can. God's sense of values is far more important than ours. If we keep in mind that we are more important to him than the creation, which it is evident he cares for, we can expect him to be faithful on our behalf, can we not? Look at verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Notice the phrase, are you not much better than they? Notice what the statement suggests as far as reference to value is concerned. Are you not much more valuable than the flowers or the birds? You might answer that question by simply recognizing the fact that God did not redeem animals nor birds, and he did not guarantee to them eternal life. There is a sense in which redemption includes all creation, but he did not redeem animal creation to guarantee it eternal life. Animals die, they die. You live, my friend, and you will live forever, because the Lord Jesus Christ died that you might have eternal life. How can we be sure that we have no need to worry? Because God is faithful. When you begin to worry, consider the faithfulness of God. But I have another thought I want to suggest, and that comes to my mind from verse 32. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, and this phrase particularly, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. I suggest to you another reason you don't need to worry is what I have described as the omniscience of God. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. And the phrase these things, in the light of the context, refers to the ordinary cares of life, and your heavenly Father knows. Now, there are a number of Greek words that are translated by our English word know, but I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit's choice of this particular one. It is the translation of the Greek word I do, which means to see. Sometimes, in the midst of real stress and trial, perhaps in the midst of a real strain, you've wondered if anyone knows about your need. You've wondered if anyone even realizes what you're going through. I would like to suggest to you, my friend, that your Father knows, because there is never a moment that you are out of his sight. There is never a moment when you are alone. He sees that of which you have need. Your heavenly Father knows. He is the omniscient God. And the wonderful truth of this verse is that he knows the things of which we have need. Sometimes my sense of values is not what it ought to be. And I may think I need something when I don't really need it. But my heavenly Father knows. And because my heavenly Father loves me, I can leave it with him. Now, before we leave the passage, the Lord Jesus brings to our attention the futility of worry with the words, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" A cubit is 18 inches. Stature of our minds refers to height. Which of you can make yourselves 18 inches higher than you are already? Actually, this word cubit involves the idea of age. So you can even ask yourself, which of you can add 18 days, 18 months, 18 years to your life? Which of you can? And of course, the answer is evident. No one can. Now, one last consideration that I would like for you to keep in mind that should encourage you not to worry, and that's found in verse 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You put God first, and God will see to it that every need you have will be met, even in the midst of those trials in our life when our faith is very weak. For he said, if we believe not, that is, if we haven't the ability to believe, he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Dear one, I don't know how much you've been able to receive, but hear this one simple statement. You don't need to worry. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you.